This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
The game is over. You can turn your radios back on. The game is over.
Go back to us.
Please, roll down your window as loud as you can so the people in the car next to you know. On WEEI, the Red Sox game is over. It is safe to once again listen to 93.7. What a gigantic kick in the nuts.
Unbelievable.
By the way, it's unbelievable what's going on right now with a certain member of the Red Sox. I mean, the Red Sox in general, but a certain member of the Red Sox. And what's kind of funny is that that disaster right there is indeed the play of the game. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Today, gentlemen, how are we doing this afternoon?
Nice to have things you can count on, though. You know, you like reliability, like rain on the weekends here, and you know when Bayo starts, what you're going to get, so you can make plans.
Oh man,
if you're going to go down in a blaze of glory like the Red Sox are.
I mean,
it's kind of fun to watch this dumpster fire play out.
Hey, they're 1-1 since we last spoke. That's a 500 baseball team.
It's true. I was feeling good, you know, on the way in, and then of course we saw that first inning. But Stiz, you know, Chad Tracy before the game said it best. Let's take a listen.
Just feels like, you know, for us to be successful, we need Bayo to start. I mean, we beat a dead horse with this. Like, we start him, it doesn't go well. The opener doesn't do well. Why did you open? You don't. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, we need this guy to pitch. Like, we had him in an outing against the Guardians where he faced eight lefties. He's worked very hard in between starts over the last couple of weeks to work on arm slot and different things to solve for lefties. Like, we got to put him out there.
Yeah, you got to put him out there.
There's no clear answer for that.
Sure, you got to do that. So after games of having a fluffer, Brian Bello was going to actually start and pitch the first inning, and how'd that go? I can honestly say I have truly never seen anything like what Brian Bello is doing right now. A guy that in four games behind an opener has an ERA of 0.71, but as a starter, it balloons to 9.6.
Well, I think it's 16.88 in eight starts officially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I guess I'm looking at the seven. What number am I looking at?
There's a lot of bad numbers.
Oh,
it's
incredible.
Awful, whatever it is. I believe Will was saying if he qualified, he's by a run the worst starter in baseball.
Can I just give you his numbers versus just the Orioles this year? His two starts.
Well, those probably
eight innings pitched, 20 hits, 16 runs, 16 earned, 5 home runs, 4 walks, 6 Ks, and a 17.28 ERA.
Unbelievable. And just if you didn't hear it or see it or you don't know what happened, he imploded big time. They put him in there the first inning, which, by the way, I think was the right thing to do.
Hey, Rich, first pitch of the game. Guy hits it off the wall for a double.
You do think it was the right thing to do? Because I do.
I think that you got to know. You got to know. You got to try. You know, it's weird. It's like, is this like maybe it's even like exposure therapy where you have to get them out there in the first inning to get over the yips? All I know is it's truly one of the weirdest things I've seen in baseball outside of we were talking about how for a while John Lester couldn't throw to first base. Like, this is even weirder. If you're Chad Tracy, you got to at least give it a go and see how well you can do.
No, you don't. You don't. You can do it in AAA. I mean, and Lenny DiNardo said this. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you learn in the minors. How to navigate a first inning with pitch selections. And Lenny's obviously more brilliant baseball mind than I am, but it seems like he needs help starting a game again. He's got to reset. He's got to go down. And this was, Rich, this was a huge game for them.
Yeah.
Think if the good vibes last night.
Was it? They're in last place by a decent amount. Are any games a big game anymore?
Last night was a party. People were like buying back in. You know how you were last Wednesday? It's like every middle game they win in the series, people are starting to buy back in again. And they had 15 hits, and if you win this series against Baltimore going into a Yankees series on the weekend, people are kind of reengaged. Instead, like to your point, they lasted 5 minutes, and they flipped the channel.
I can't kill Tracy for doing that. I just think you kind of got to know, and maybe now is the time you send him down.
Now we know, right?
I guess now we know.
Again, Tracy should be fired. I mean, right? I mean, you cannot have him make another start next week in Tampa.
No, because we've seen this movie way too many times this year. I mean, he's gotten more rope and more, I think, benefit of the doubt than most pitchers would at this point. It's just not working. You got to send him down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're killing your team.
The mental hell he's got to be going through right now, because there was a moment, too, where Narvaez was trying to come out of the mound.
First inning.
And Bayo said, nope, you go back.
Yep.
And you could just see
disrespect.
How pissed off he was. And by the way, you don't do that, Brian Baio. I mean,
you don't show off your catcher.
No. You never do that. Nope. But you could see it in his eyes how frustrated and pissed that he was at himself. And he was just like, I can't believe this is happening. It was like his worst nightmare was happening there right on the mound. It confirmed everything that was in his head that was wrong. Mm-hmm. It said, you know what? You were right. You shouldn't be pitching the first inning. And I don't know, to your point, whether they send him down and they have him continue to start down there or you just figure out a way to work around it. It just doesn't seem fair to a lot of different players to have him be someone who just comes in the second and has somebody take off the first. It's very odd. He's getting paid to be a starter. And I just think it's therapy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's therapy and reps. Didn't Glavin and a couple of those guys back in the day used to pitch like a mock first inning?
We were talking about that. A simulated start. Yeah, in the bullpen before you even go out there. So they're all lathered up. Like, it's crazy. I mean, it is crazy. Clockwork. Brian Baio goes out there to start the second after he's given up six runs in the first and goes 1-2-3.
He's nails.
Nine
in a row.
I forget who it was, but I think it was one of the Atlanta Braves pitchers that you're talking about.
Yeah.
They actually kind of simulated a first inning before the game so that because they were having the same type of issues that Brian Baio was having.
Yep. Right now you just got a major problem because this guy is getting paid like a starter, and it's very, very strange. And to be honest, it's like it actually is kind of uncomfortable to watch because you know that he's going through his own mental personal hell. Anytime you see someone with the yips, it gets to you. And mm-hmm. you've seen it before with kickers before who've gotten the yips in the NFL. You've seen it before with golfers who've gotten the yips, and you just all of a sudden will forget how to putt. And it's just, it really is tough to watch. So I don't know what the plan is. All I know is that Chad Tracy afterwards was asked about, I mean, it's obviously the first question. It's the only question of the game. Mm-hmm. And here's what Chad Tracy had to say. Do you got that, Stiz?
Just a struggle. They hit him hard. And of the innings, that was probably his worst strike-throwing inning. I think we were right around 50%, 21 out of 40. So got behind in some counts, and they jumped him on some early count stuff and put a big number up there.
Yep, and it was over before it started, man. Emblematic of what's going on this year. It is just his attitude. It's just kind of sulk. There's who's leading, who's helping him.
Yeah.
Showing him the way. Who's going to get in his face and being like, Brian, you got to snap out of this. I mean, there's no veteran leadership. I mean, the attitude is poor. You got the manager kind of, I don't know, acting like it's nothing to see here. Hey, we just, kind of making an excuse.
Do you think he has permission to send him down? I mean, they gave the guy $55 million, so maybe there's something with the front office saying, hey, we're not sending him to AAA. You got to get him right. You guys have to figure it out.
I mean, that's, to me, is always the fascinating question, Ken, is who's got the power? Yeah. I mean, I the only thing I think at the end of the day that Chad Tracy has power over is maybe the lineup every day. Those type of decisions, I feel like, are above his pay grade.
But I also think that if you don't send him down, like, everybody's watching this story. Yeah. Like, everybody knows you can't hide this.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody would crush you for sending him back down to get right.
It's not fair to the other guys.
No.
I mean, you're coddling this guy. I mean, you keep putting him out there, and you get behind. I mean, it stresses out the bullpen. I mean, the games are over before they start. It's not fair to the rest of the team.
Yeah, right.
To keep doing what they're doing.
They've had bad losses this year. This feels worse than last Thursday, the Chris Sale game where they give the grand slam. It was 2-2, and they had hit a slam off. You had to blow it open. Or even the Minnesota series where Slayton gave up two homers. This feels worse than those. It just feels like you had a chance to win a series, and you blew it with decision-making. And also, you had a chance when it's 2-0 to challenge a play at third.
Yeah.
And they took too long, apparently, to get the call in.
They did, yeah.
It feels like a staff that is overwhelmed at this level.
And that part of me wonders, is that because that's a young staff.
Yeah.
They're not used to challenging, at the AAA. They don't do those, make those challenges.
Right.
So
yep.
They're not up with kind of, how it works up here. And so he was late getting that challenge in, and it would have been the third out.
Yep. Ted, right. You made a point yesterday that I can't stop thinking about how important this is. And that was when you were saying last year, when you were broadcasting from Fenway Park, you would park in like the lot where the players were and you would see the cars that were there. And it was about halfway through the season, would you say?
Yeah, right around now.
Yeah. When the team kind of started finding their way, it seemed that all of a sudden, you would have more cars there
earlier
in the day. Yep. And you believe that's the Bregman effect, right?
I do. I mean, because you started hearing stories about Bregman meeting with guys before, doing scouting reports with not only hitters, but pitchers and different position guys. And you could just see there was starting to be some positivity and momentum going. So the buy-in was clear to me because it's more and more cars were showing up earlier in these games. So you're not seeing that. You're seeing an empty lot right now.
Yeah.
You don't see guys getting there early now.
And to your point, there's obviously no vocal leader in there, but I think this is also a symptom of what's going on with Craig Breslow, relying too much on analytics and less on the actual people and who they are and, like, what kind of leaders they are. Because, I mean, the Schwarber thing was great because I love that they used that example in the article because they said they didn't want anybody that was over the age of 30 who couldn't play more than one position. And so it took somebody out there. So what you're immediately doing is you're cutting off people who have age, which means wisdom. Now, you may not be as good as you used to be, but you have something intangible that you can bring into that locker room to bring all these guys together. Mm-hmm. So when you have moments like this, you're like, everybody get your head out of your butt, yeah, and we're going to get out there, we're going to move on, and we're going to win this next round. Mm-hmm. And I just can't stand the fact that they have just completely neglected how important it is to have a leader in that clubhouse.
Because they can't quantify that in their algorithms.
Exactly, because that's not something that numbers will show you.
But what's weird about that is they went against numbers with Bayo. If you paid attention to any numbers this year, you would not have Brian Bayo start the game.
No, that's
true. Instead, you went with the gut of, well, we need him to be a starter. It's not working, but let's try.
Yeah. I told you, you're right. Don't mind that they started him today. I almost think you just had to know. Now you know.
Painful lesson.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't know by now, oh my goodness.
Well, if they start him again.
This has been repeating every game that he's been out there where he starts, he gets shelled. So, I mean, if you needed one more game to convince you, okay. But to me, they should have never started him. There was enough data and information that told you he's going to, you know, poop the bed if he starts, and he did.
I know football's different, Ted, but have you ever been around somebody who had the yips and somebody who just kind of lost it for a little bit, whether it be like a kicker or even sometimes, you know, obviously we talk about Mac Jones, mm-hmm, and how he suffered from the yips.
Stiz a couple months ago.
Stiz.
Was hitting all the wrong buttons.
Total meltdown. You know what I have? I'll give you a quick story. My rookie year, I roomed with the punter. His name was Pat O'Neill. He was in his second year. He had a great rookie year, okay, punter. He was terrible to start the season in his sophomore season, my rookie season, and he never would come out of his room. Hell, his mom's calling me and like, have you seen Pat? I'm like, yeah, he's here. He's just in his room. He was cut midway.
What was he doing in there?
His head in a pillow, man.
Just not being where he's supposed to be.
Parcells rode him, and, you know, he basically wanted to break him. He either was going to go one way or the other, and the kid broke. So, I mean, Lee Johnson, another punter. Belichick cut him, you know, because he was so nervous about Belichick that he dropped a ball. The ball snap came, hit him right in the hands. He drops it in a big game against San Diego at home, and they score, and we almost lose that game, and he cuts him. I've seen it happen. I've seen guys, the pressure gets to them. They have total, complete meltdowns. And I always say this, the guys that stay the longest in the bigs put their mistakes behind them and move on. You got to have a short memory, and Brian Bayo does not have a short memory.
Would you trade him? I mean, it gets to the point where maybe it's just not working here. You wouldn't get much for him right now. You're trading him at a total low point, but just like, and I hate this, I've been calling him Baby Pedro for years, so it's my fault.
Aren't we at that point, Ken?
It's just he's shaking off your catchers, and he's becoming a distraction. And,
Couldn't you totally see, Ken, him going to a different team and immediately being able to start?
Absolutely.
But it just being a change of scenery, and that will do it for you?
Yep.
It's odd, and I don't know what the solution is. All I know is I remember John Smoltz used to have his therapist sit in the crowd right behind home plate, mm-hmm, and he would pitch, and he'd be able to look at his therapist, and it was like his grounding. It was his way that he was able to center himself and not get in his own head. And I don't know what Brian Bayo needs, but right now what's happening isn't working.
So by the way, he's just speaking through a translator, and Max Cerullo of the Herald says Bayo emphasizes he's a starting pitcher, he doesn't want to hear people suggest out of the bullpen, and he's a big leaguer. So
you know what, hey, if you get tell yourself whatever you got to tell yourself, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it differently, but you know, good for him. I mean, that's kind of how you should be, but I'm not sure how confident he's really, you know, but that's what you need to say.
Yeah,
to just, you know, to kind of fake it till you make it, baby.
Do you give him another chance?
Not as a starter. No. He's proven he can't do it. He can't do it.
They have a lefty in AAA, Jake Bennett, who was up here for two starts. He's good. His numbers are great. He should be here. If I'm Jake Bennett, I'm pissed. I'm like, how can you keep running Bayo out here? you know, he's shown you everything you need. You traded for him in the offseason. Get him up here.
It is. Brian Baio is basically the poster child for kind of the new way in which they're doing business, right? They're giving younger players these early contracts.
Christian Campbell.
Projecting that he's going to be, you know, basically, you know, the money is going to be, you know, worth it.
Yeah.
And he's falling apart. He's miserable. You've got to consider trading him. You absolutely have to consider trading him.
Yeah, I would think so at this point. I mean, and what do you get? You know, who knows? Are they willing to pay the type of that, you know, are they willing to give you the amount of...
Nope. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, like, what do you do? You almost got to fix the guy first before you can trade him for what you need. But I don't know how you handle it.
Send him to Lorenzo. Does he work with pitchers?
Well, ever since Lorenzo's been in there, Caleb Durbin's been pretty good.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Is this a dumb question? It doesn't matter where, if it's at home or away. When he starts, he's terrible. Doesn't matter,
correct,
home or away, right?
That's right.
So, okay. Yep. You just wonder maybe if some guys would benefit going to a smaller market,
Sure.
He seemed like a guy that would be perfect in a smaller market.
Absolutely. All right. 617-779-7937. We are not going anywhere. We're going to be here. We're back in 2 minutes. And when we come back, I never, ever have inside information. I have inside information on something having to do with your Boston Celtics. There is a theory that is going around right now that I actually have inside information.
Making calls last night or this morning?
My man.
Just fell in your lap or what?
Shaking trees. You know me. I'm calling my sources.
Working phones?
Absolutely. All right. We will do that. We're not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be back.